My grandfather's name was Edward Latimer Beach, Sr. He was a captain in the United States Navy, and at the time of this story, he was the skipper of a battleship called the Memphis. In August 1916, 8 months before the United States entered World War I, the Memphis was anchored in the Caribbean off the coast of the Dominican Republic. With close to 900 men on board, the ship was 154 meters long. It was fueled by coal-fired steam boilers, 16 of them, and smokestacks rising 23 meters into the air. At 3 p.m. on the 29th of August, 1916, the ship was at leisure. The sea was glassy smooth. It was hot, so all the vents and portholes and gun ports were open to let the sea air in. Some 25 crew had just cruised away on a motor launch for a little R&R on the island. Other crew were splashing about in the waves on a small dinghy. The fleet admiral had just cruised away, making one last order that just two of the 16 boilers be kept burning, all the others shut down, please, to save fuel, just enough to keep the electrics on. There was no sign of storm after all. The sea was glassy smooth, and the flags hung limply. My grandfather, Captain Beach, was sitting in his stateroom, enjoying a cup of coffee in the afternoon, when suddenly his executive officer burst in. He had seen a weird undulation on the horizon. Joining him up on the bridge, my grandfather began to scan the horizon and then around to the shore, and he was surprised and with growing alarm noticed that there were breakers crashing on the beach. And as he watched, they were getting bigger and more in number, row upon row of breakers. Something was happening. He immediately telegraphed the motor launch to stay on shore, not to attempt to return back to the boat. He asked all the portholes and gun ports to be shut. And then he ordered all the engines to be made ready to get underway. And with that done, and he was satisfied that he'd done whatever he could for the emergency, he then began to scan the horizon again. Back down in the engine room, they were trying to get all the engines fired up, but it was getting more and more difficult because the boat was listing to side to side and they could barely stand, much less shovel coal. Up on the deck, my grandfather then noticed a giant yellow wave barreling toward them. He and his exec estimated that wave to be about 25 meters high, about as high as the smokestacks on the ship. And there was no telling how fast that wave was moving. The only thing that they could do would be to point the ship into the wave and ride over it or through it. The problem was there was no power. It was going to take another 30 minutes at least to get full steam ahead. Back down in the engine room, one of the crew noticed something particularly odd, and that was when one of the engines fired and blazed, it then dimmed and hissed as if it were being hosed down by water. And there could only be one explanation for that, and that was that water, seawater, was getting in through the smokestacks. The wave hit the battleship broadside. And when it hit, my grandfather wrote that everything was eerily quiet, and that was because the ship was submerged. And then it resurfaced, and then it submerged again, and then it resurfaced, and then it was crashed against the rocks of the island, and then the next minute it was flung out to sea 1 mile. It was agony. After about an hour of this, the boat came to a stop on the rocks of the island. The men were all rescued. Only 40 men had lost their lives, including the 25 who attempted to return to the ship and capsized. The Navy held a court-martial after the incident, and my grandfather was held responsible for not being prepared for an emergency. Remember that it was the fleet admiral who had declared that all 14 engines be shut down. Nevertheless, to be held responsible for the loss of lives and the loss of this ship was devastating for my grandfather. 2 years later, in 1919, the Secretary of Navy rescinded the verdict and declared that my father could not have been prepared for a volcanic eruption underground. But my grandfather wasn't able to be promoted. He wasn't able to reach the status of admiral in the United States Navy. And so he passed that ambition on to my father, Captain Edward L. Beach, Jr. And my father, all his life, tried to honor his father's ambition to become admiral. He wrote books. He wrote The Wreck of the Memphis in order to set the record straight. He wrote novels. Some were bestsellers. One became a movie, Run Silent, Run Deep, starring Clark Gable. Some of you might have seen it. He skippered the first nuclear submarine around the world, submerged. But despite all these amazing accomplishments, he too did not achieve the status of admiral in the United States Navy.